think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm right, excited to try go. The beer, so let's go.
Hello, welcome to Gravel Knits. We're a group that loves to knit and sometimes swear a little. So if little knitters are present, you may want to wear your headphones. Today is January 29th, 2021. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Caitlin, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
I'm Jess, and my pronouns are also she, her, and hers.
And I'm Kelsey, and my pronouns are also she, her, and hers.
So we're going to get started today with drinks. And actually, Jess helped me pick them out tonight because we're thinking that this episode will come out around Valentine's Day. So we wanted to make kind of a Valentine's theme for y'all. So we are all doing stouts and porters tonight, sweet things and chocolate. So the first one we are starting with tonight is Left Hand Brewery, the Raspberry Milk Stout.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I don't have it open yet. Hang on. Ah. Okay. Now
okay. We need the opening sound.
Cheers.
Cheers.
That's nice.
I enjoy this beer a lot.
I like
it. It tastes like chocolate fruity. And raspberries.
Yeah, but it's not, it tastes like a raspberry. So it has that like acidic side without being too aggressive, but it has that. And I think that makes it more drinkable.
It's very smooth.
More balanced.
Yeah.
Kelsey, I'm going to throw you on the spot. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about milk stouts and maybe fruity milk stouts?
I'm not super seasoned. I'm not super educated in the world of fruity milk stout. But
seems like a very small universe.
Yeah, it's specific.
I think it is, but it isn't. Because, I mean, most often you're going to find like a raspberry milk stout. I'm having a hard time coming up off the top of my head other than like a cherry flavored stout, something like that. I'm not sure that anything is really popping at me at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's another flavor we hear, but it's definitely like a smoother stout.
I'm
more approachable for
Caitlin. Are you missing this?
Yeah, I am.
And the Cole keeps popping up in the background, messing with Kelsey.
Okay, so I'm gonna steal the show for just 1 second. Yesterday was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
I turned the ripe old age of 34.
Woohoo.
So, you know, nice and old and everything, right? Old quote. And this morning I was brought an orange juice and a Hostess dark chocolate and raspberry cupcake because I'm old and I could eat whatever I wanted for breakfast. So that cupcake would go wonderfully with this beer. That's how this all ties together. The Hostess dark chocolate raspberry cupcake, Left Hand raspberry milk stout, the Hostess cupcake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hostess cupcake. That might have to be our dessert for Valentine's Day.
There you go. No, I think the raspberry dark chocolate Hostess cupcakes would pair really well with this.
It would. That sounds really good now.
Because they're not overly sweet in the cupcakes. And then this would like bring that little more milky side to it.
Excellent.
So for announcements and Gravel Knits events, we would love it if you could go ahead and leave us a review when you listen to our podcast on wherever you listen to our podcast. And we also want to thank Diane, that's Drexel928, for being our first post in our Ravelry group. And she has a fun blog, Cats Under Yarner Bits. I may have mispronounced that, and I apologize if I do, but it's KatzUndeyarner Bits. And we will have a link in our episode notes as well. And there's also a new knitting podcast called Getting It Done from the Loveliest Yarn Company. And that's a yarn and pattern company in the United Kingdom.
And I finally listened to the first podcast. It was really cute. I think it was about 20 minutes. And she more like has topics. From what I've only listened to the first one, but she's pretty focused on like that topic. I thought it was good. I thought it was neat. So just wanted to let people know because I'm always looking for new podcasts.
Plus, the name is pretty excellent, Getting It Done. That's cute.
So cute.
Always a fan of a pun.
Oh, and then just something I wanted to throw out there, and I wanted to hear what everyone else thought of it. I was listening to the I Thought I Knew How podcast, episode 50, And she is keeping all the labels for her yarn and making like a chain. Go ahead.
No, I heard this. I heard what she was going to say. She's making a chain of all of her labels, right?
Yeah.
And so she's adding them up as her year goes on to see exactly what all she used throughout the year.
Yeah. So I thought that'd be super fun.
Cool idea.
And then if anyone wanted to join me on it, we could start a thread. And if we wanted to make it some sort of competition, that'd be pretty fun too. And if you do have a yarn that doesn't have a label, then you can make one and count it. Make your own label. Just make a ring and add it on. I think it'd be really fun. It'd be neat. And it could make be an interesting decoration in your house. Who knows? But it'd be cool to see. So I thought I'd throw that idea out there.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to start a thread in our Ravelry forum for that?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
I think we should. Up for fun names. I think that way if people want to join in, they can.
Give us Perfect. A little update on what you're doing.
All right. I'll do it. So our next section
takes us to listener questions.
Yes, it does.
All right. In our week this week for our listener questions, Diane wants to hear about Kelsey's biking adventures. Well,
so shoot.
Kelsey has been on biking adventures this winter already.
Yes.
There have been highs, there have been lows, there's been everything in between. Already this year, I've been biking in Colorado and Iowa. In Colorado, we had the opportunity to go up a couple of mountains. I think we were in Douglas and Jefferson County open spaces. Both had really awesome groomed trails. We went out on our fat bikes. However, last week was the first race of the year. So I've already entered a race. And there were four women. There was about a field of 65. We went up and did the Triple D fat bike race in Dubuque, Iowa. This was my first fat bike race, my first winter race. And originally it was with a little bit of FOMO. I was like, all my friends are going up and doing this race. I want to go up and do this race too, which is okay. But I've kind of been training for this a little bit. It was this year they did 30-mile Double D fat bike race. I did not get to finish it. I did end up injured. I had to call for a ride, but I still had the best time of my life. I had a great time.
That's good.
I can't wait to go back next year.
Yay. I had no idea that only four women were in the race.
Yeah, that's incredible.
There were four women. I think it was less than 70 people total.
Oh, wow.
There were, I think, three or four other women originally signed up for the race, but four of us took the line that morning. We started out at -6 degrees when we showed up.
Oh, yeah, because wasn't that our snowstorm weekend?
Yes, it was.
Okay, yeah, no wonder.
Yikes. We got the race in just before the storm came, before we got all the snow. So it was,
I'm glad you didn't get stuck out in that.
Yeah, no, it was like primo race condition. Pretty solid snow, not too icy for the most part, unless you're descending really fast. It was a mixture of gravel roads and paved roads, bike trail, railed trail, and a lot of snowmobile track.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Way to represent, too.
I will give a shout out for Iowa Nice. There is a thing about Iowa Nice where people are just generally very friendly to one another. I needed somebody's help, and they were more than happy to help me out.
Mm-hmm.
That was very helpful. Very grateful.
And just to put the snow in context for people out there, we got like 14 inches, so it was much snow. There was many snows. The fact that you were out riding a bike in this at all, let alone doing a bike race, is pretty freaking incredible.
Fortunately, the race was before the snow hit.
But still, you didn't know that it would be.
Right.
That was way cooler looking than I thought.
We're just going
off schedule all over the place tonight because I have...
Hat is done!
My last 5 stitches. And so I am going to pull this through the loops.
What are you going to work on now?
That's a good question. I actually have a plan for that. I'm going to make my mom a tank top. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We talked about that earlier.
Are you sure you don't want to finish my sweater?
I am. But I want you to finish your sweater and enjoy the process.
I've enjoyed
it. So while we're talking about things, I kind of did like a live action update, but we are tour update section. We have renamed some of our topics. So right now we're starting with what's brewing, which is our works in progress. So Jess, I'm going to throw you out to start us.
Oh boy. Nothing like being put on the spot.
That's what I do.
Anyway, I'm halfway apparently done with my corrosion cowl. Well, a little bit over halfway now. The middle point is about 2 inches ago. So it was right here. That's the middle.
Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
She's showing it up to us.
I'm working on some more twisted rib. Yes. Yes. I pinched the middle and held it up. And it was about 2 inches from where I'm 3 inches if I stretch it. And it's stretchy. So I'm going to stretch it. It counts. Anyway, I'm still working on the Relentless Shawl, although it's kind of kicking my butt at the moment because the rows are just so freaking long. They're between 250 and 300 stitches at this point. I'm not sure exactly where it is because I don't count that high. But anyway, it's massive. It's massive, and the rows take about 10 minutes for me. So it's pseudo hibernation. It comes out maybe once or twice a week. I'll get it done by August, hopefully.
You'll get it done before August.
I can't wear it until next fall anyway. So, I mean, because I'm not going to get it done before it's warm. I harbor no illusions there. And I cast on, I had a case of the Start-Its. So I cast it on the Speckled Space Socks by Amanda Stevens. And it's the first pair of socks I've successfully gotten started 2 at a time. So that's exciting.
Oh, that's cool.
How are you thinking of that?
I'm not sure that
so
I like
far?
It. I don't know. I don't like the shuffle. The shuffle bugs me. But it's convenient having them both build so I don't have second sock syndrome. So I'm kind of going back and forth on it to the point where I'm still working on them, which is good. That's as much as I can ask of myself, is that I'm still trying. I also got bit by the Colorwork Mitten Bug and casted on the Me Bonden Mitts by Skeindeer Knits. And it is my first project that is almost entirely stranded color work. And I did get the koala hat washed, palmed, and blocked. And I ended up using faux fur palms I got on Etsy from Naptime Knitter Design. And I love the fur palms. They're great. So I do recommend them if you're on the search for some smaller pom-poms. Because I don't want the massive ones for my toddler. I think that'd look weird next to her head.
Maybe like half the size of her head.
Yeah. She doesn't need that. And so they were nice. They had a bunch of different sizes, a bunch of different colors, and the shipping was super quick. So no complaints.
That's awesome.
Oh, and they're super fucking fluffy. So I have very fluffy balls for my toddler.
That's what we need. Fluffy balls.
But I still need to grab the gauge from it for the City Limit sweater so I can get that on the needles. But I have been procrastinating because of Colorwork Mittens. So at least that's what I'm going to blame it on. Really, it's just a lack of motivation.
Well, it seems like you've got a lot of motivation. There's just a lot you're doing. That's okay.
Some of them are avoidance projects, like, let's be honest. Work on one thing so I don't have to do the other. But the links to all of those lovely patterns will be in our show notes. Kelsey, what do you got going?
Well, the biggest work in progress I have going on right now is my comfort fade cardi. It has been in timeout. It's been out of timeout. It's been in timeout. It's been out of timeout. I've knit it. I've frogged it. I've knit it. I've frogged it. I think we're almost to the end of the sleeves.
Awesome.
Yes.
And what was the issue with the sleeves?
So I knew going in that getting the amount of yarn that I had for each skein, I used Haiku Simplicity Spray that has about 200 grams per skein. And I knew going in that I'd be really close because I made the large size. And now actually knitting it, I wish I would have made a medium. But I knew going in I would be really close to the amount of yardage in one skein per color. And unfortunately, I ran out. I lost a game of yarn chicken. And so I'm having to rework the amount of my color C yarn in my sleeves. So, I mean, instead of doing the actual bind up as called in for in the pattern, I'm going to do a ribbed cuff on the sleeves because I ended up doing the collar before I did the sleeves.
That'll look nice though.
I really like it because it's got this teal that fades into a lighter teal, into a green, into a cream, like an antique cream.
The colors are really gorgeous. And Kelsey, I'm volunteering this. Well, kind of voluntelling her. She's going to post a picture to Instagram so you all can enjoy it with us.
Yeah, yes. You have to.
Yes, I will. I can't wait for it to be done. It's going to be like the best house robe that I own.
And it's pretty. Like, it doesn't have to just be at your house.
Oh.
Cat, stop it.
Oh,
I have two cats, and one of them is attacking my yarn. Sorry, guys, for the interruption.
Yeah, my cat is a bigger fan of me now that I knit, for sure. Knitting a hand or not, she hangs out with me more.
I do have other projects. Most of them are falling in the FO category this week.
Nice.
Yeah. So for the Fuck This Knit group, we've got a sock knit along going on. And I've picked up an old, last fall I started a pair of socks. And I hadn't really touched it in quite a while. And I picked that up back up again.
But I thought that you were going to say that you started and finished a pair of socks already for the knit along. And I was going to be like, no.
It hasn't even started yet, Kelsey. Yeah.
No, we're still 2 days away. I want to finish that first sock so I can get a good head start. No.
Anyways.
Did you guys see the knit along for Jen Steingrass patterns?
No. What? Say more.
Yeah, yes. It was on Instagram earlier. Let me find the post. I think hers is Knit Love Wool, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's doing a knit along and doing a pattern sale for it. So just any of her patterns, whips are allowed.
Cool.
Speaking of knit alongs, sorry.
We will definitely have to make sure to include that in the show notes.
Yeah, right here, Knit Along 2021 and pattern sale. I'm offering 30% off on all her designs on Ravelry. The link is in profile.
When is that good through?
Through April 10th, apparently. At least the knit along is. I don't know if the pattern sale is. It doesn't specifically say another date, so I'm going to assume. Hopefully it does not make an ass out of me. We shall see. Yeah, you can just knit any Knit Love Wool pattern. New cast-ons and current projects / whips are equally welcome. And then there's a chat in their Ravelry group. And chatting there is encouraged but not required. Yeah.
Interesting. Cool.
And she has gorgeous color work. Just flat out gorgeous. If you like a color work yoke on your sweaters, check her out if you haven't already. Most of you probably have.
So I finished that, fingering weight sweater, and I've been saying, I'm not going to do another fingering weight sweater. I'm not going to do another fingering weight sweater.
Kelsey, you're going to do another fingering weight sweater because these sweaters are fucking gorgeous.
Pretty sure I have another fingering weight sweater in my sights.
Like, just look at all of these.
Oh, I know.
They're beautiful. Like, classy, beautiful. Oh, I was looking at that one, the color work on the bottom. I thought that was cool. At the bottom of the body of the sweater.
My favorite is probably this top one here, if I can get it to stay, and I can't, but
what's it called?
In that way. I don't know. I can't tell.
Can you click on it and let us know?
Yeah, let's see if she labeled them. She did not.
Okay. What? Okay, well, it's not.
Okay, and it looks like the sale code will be going out in her newsletter. So if you're not signed up for the newsletter, I don't know if you guys get the sale.
Right, get on there. Cool. Yeah. Kelsey, do we have any other works in progress for you?
Let's see. I have a secret chat snit that I can't tell you anything more about.
Cryptic, but okay.
It involves knitting. It has yarn, needles, knitting. As soon as I can tell you about that.
Oh, that.
You're lucky we're distancing, because that makes me want to reach the computer and flick you.
That's all I'm going to ever say about that. That's as far as we're going that. Trust me. As soon as I can show you, I will.
Okay, I trust you.
I did, however. Oh no, we'll come back to that story later.
Oh, Kelsey, now you're just being mean.
It's an acquisition story.
Cliffhanger after cliffhanger tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Call me Cliffhanger. Just call me Cliff.
We might start calling you Cliff.
Cliffhanging Kelsey.
No, so my only two works in progress I can talk about are my Comfort Fade Cardi, which I would like to finish somehow in the next 2 hours. That gives me about, I can count it towards 10 points on my stash counting group. And then I've got a pair of socks on the go in a Rocky Horror Picture Show colorway from Valkyrie Fibers.
Excellent.
Just a plain vanilla socks. I started just after Halloween, after my friend got married, because I gave her a pair of Rocky Horror Picture Show socks for her wedding. And then that's it. That's all my works in progress.
What have you got, Caitlin?
I have kind of the normal dishcloths in each car. Nothing new really to report there, I don't think. They're pretty. They're fun. I haven't touched the one in my car at all. The dumpster fire, I'm working on that. That's going to be quite a project. I think I'm going to be talking about this for a while. It's very fun to knit, but really thinking about it, like the flames are made up of 9 different pieces to start with. And then you have the dumpster and then you just sew it all together. So yeah, I bit off a lot, but I'm going to keep going and I'm having a lot of fun. I'm doing some of the pieces like multiple at a time, knitting them flat. And that's a lot of fun. I'm doing one dumpster with like crazy colors. And I haven't seen anyone do that. So I don't know. Hopefully that'll be something new and different. And maybe more people do the pattern, which would be good. Because she...
I hope so.
Kino Dits does a lot of stuff for charity. So I think that's really great. And
that is.
Really, she wrote the pattern, so you can do any year. So you can even do a Dumpster Fire 2021 if you want. Or any other year. But, you know, the way that 2021 is starting, maybe you can get ahead on your Christmas knitting and do some 2021 ornaments for your friends. I don't know. My other work in progress, going to be finished by tonight-ish. I guess I might attempt to block it, but it is the Love the Winter Hat by Emily Dormier. I am using the Valley Yarns Superwash DK that's actually left over from my Monster Pants for Riker. So I'm actually using a different weight than it says, but I cast on like the adult size in smaller needles. And I did do a different needle for the brim and the body of the hat, which isn't in the pattern either. So I did a little bit of modification, but it looks great. I'm excited. I think it's going to be kind of slouchy or kind of like sit on the top of his head. And it's just really cute. It reminds me of like we doodle in our notebooks. You do like that heart design where you have like a right side up heart and an upside down heart. You just kind of keep going. You make like a chain of hearts. That's what's going across it. And I'm just doing the red, which is just red. It's named just red. And the other one's also just named white for the colorways. He's curious. Makes I feel sense. Like it was colonial
they're
red
and white.
They're red and white. And they're beautiful and exactly what you want them to be. So I'm super pumped. Let's see. Riker's room. I'm working on my Alaska hat. Actually, and I'm still on the brim, but I did switch to a 16-inch needle. So I'm trying that out instead of Magic Loop. So branching out, I think I like it so far, but I've only done a few rows that way. No problem with Magic Loop. I just now have the right size needle. So I thought I'd give it a shot. Still working on the Lumberjack Socks by Tin Can Knits. Going pretty well. I'm going to be, I think, more motivated because we've got the Chatty Bitches group and I want to add them to the knit along. It'll be my first knit along. So I'm excited about that. And that's where I'm at for works in progress. So our next section is now named End of the Trail, which are finished objects. Jess, start with you.
Oh, this is easy because of my bad case of the start-its. I have no finished its. So, Kelsey.
I have the best. I finally finished my Descent Fall Over.
And it is amazing.
It's fantastic. I love it so much. So the majority of the yarn was like 80-20 yak merino or yak merino silk base. And it's just so smooth and silky and smushy and comfy. So I did the Descent Pullover by Andrea Rangel. I knit the size and large, and I knit the pattern pretty much as written, but I went down 2 needle sizes, and I accidentally missed the round of increases after the colorwork section in the yoke. But other than that, I knit it as written. It fits wonderfully. I made the goal to have it done in time for the inauguration, and I finished it 2 days before the inauguration. Got it and soaking that it. Night. Got it soaking 2 days before the inauguration, then blocked it that night. I did toss it into the dryer for about 10 minutes, maybe. Just
did
to
you
give
toss
it
in like inside out then, or I've just
no,
curious.
I actually just I tossed it in right side out as was with a few other clothes, like some sheets, just for 10 minutes. I kept my eye on it because I didn't want to risk felting it. I didn't want to risk over shrinking it.
That would have sucked to felt that sucker.
But it was like just this close being dry enough to wear.
Plus, wasn't it a little big?
It was a little big. Before I tossed it in the dryer, it was a little looser. And I think if it were allowed to wear it for a while, it would grow a little bit just because of that alpaca content.
Mm-hmm.
But as it is, with about 10 minutes in the dryer, I tossed it on inauguration day and I wore it and it was great.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. And it's so gorgeous.
It's got that little bit of like a purple stained glass on the background of a silver background. It's really cool.
It's so pretty.
There are pictures on Instagram. There will be more pictures eventually. But I definitely, the weight of it and the texture of it, I will absolutely be wearing it time and time again.
Damn well better. That thing is gorgeous.
Well, right now, the best things that fit are anything I can put over my head like a sweater.
Yeah.
You got this. You'll be back on your bike soon.
Oh, my trainer is getting set up this week. All right. So let's see. That was a sweater. I finished my sweater. I finished a hat. I'm wearing it right now. This is a combination of my hand spun and another woman from Iowa, her hand spun. I've got a little bit of like a
pretty
twisted rib in my hand spun, which has like brown and pinks and just a 1x1 twisted rib. Not a worsted weight. Then it goes up into like BFL, probably all a DK weight. And this is just something I made up, which was like 4x1 with an occasional twisting of the stitches. It looks pretty cool. It's reversible.
That's on my bucket list. I want to do reversible cabling. I've not done that before. Oh, fun. Oh,
that's cool.
That's resin oranges and pink.
I like how much variation you see on the inside out version of the colors.
It makes the colors really vivid.
Yeah. Right?
Like that sunset pink is just popping.
I love that one. I was mostly done with that week. This week, I've had a little extra time to knit this week. It's been great. So I've been a Patreon Stephanie Pearl McPhee, the Yarn Harlot. And a couple months ago, she did this color stacking cowl pattern recipe, where you have a skein of yarn that, you know, is repeatable in the color pattern that it's dyed in. Not necessarily, you know, like a still self-striping yarn, but like just variegated yarn. So then you calculated out like how many stitches it would take at the gauge that you're working at to plan the pooling for it.
Oh, cool. I had no idea that all that went into that too. I was already impressed, but now I'm more impressed.
You figured out the stitch pattern you wanted to use. You figured out the stitch gauge you were doing it at. And you figure out, okay, so I've got these number of repeats. How many stitches is it going to take for me to go around one repeat? There are definitely some things you can learn out there on the internet that I love. I started with her basic recipe. Cast on something like 86 stitches. I got me one repeat around my fiber and dye working that I was using in Summer Fairy.
It's just such a pretty color too. There's like blues and mints and this vibrant violet that just almost kicks you in the teeth. It's gorgeous.
But then there's this like brown cream, like a mushroom brown.
Kind of like a root beer float when the ice cream mixes in with the root
beer.
Now I want root beer floats, so there's that, but...
So I started the, like, estimated number of stitches to get one repeat. Worked that for about 10 inches, then increased a little so that I would get a little bit wider on my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just felt like I needed a ruffle. Then I increased the number of stitches by about 8 times.
This ruffle is wild.
It's a very ruffly ruffle.
I start with about 86 stitches. I ended up with somewhere around 750 stitches.
Oh my God.
And then I decided, you know, let's just go ahead and finish it off in I-cord edging. And it started with a provisional cast on. So then I went and picked those back up. And voila, we have a wonderful new cowl.
Stretches it's out. So stretchy too.
Yeah, it stretches out to about a 28-inch circumference.
Oh, the colors and everything. It reminds me of those 90s tops. The ones we were talking about the last time.
Double tops.
Yes. That's what the colors look like.
Yeah.
Like it's the same color family and pooling and everything. That's awesome. It's your bubble top cowl.
Maybe I should just knit a bubble top next.
Why not? I like it.
Might as well. It'd be fun. If you have a week off again, go for it. Oh, to clarify, a week off where you can't ride, because otherwise I think you'd be riding.
If I had a week off and I didn't have to work, but I could ride, I would be riding, yeah.
You need that on a bumper sticker. I'd rather be riding.
They probably have a sticker somewhere.
They definitely have that one. I think we could hook you up.
So that's what I have for finished objects. Who's next?
Moi.
Miss Caitlin. Me.
Okay, so I finished The Easiest Pie Dishcloth by Emily Williams. I used 4 yarns, which I've been just working through this yarn. So I've made a lot of dishcloths with the same kind of idea where I'm holding double with the Knit Picks Dishy Twist and the Red Heart Scrubby Sparkle from Kelsey. Other news, I guess. I was going to say bigger news, but I'm like, I'm not going to like discount my dishcloths because they make me very happy.
It is bigger. It's larger.
It is a lot bigger. Very good point. I finished the Dalen Pullover by Isabel Kramer. So I started that. Sweater. Yeah, it's my first sweater. I think I actually casted it on in September, but I kind of count it as starting it in August because there was a lot of like prep work and learning and all that. And I think I may have cast it on the swatch in August, but it's Cascade Spontaneous, the Blackberry Heather, which is a beautiful purple. And so, yeah, so it's done. It is upstairs in a closed room protected from the kitty cat. Drying, so I locked it and everything. It's just guessing it'll be good tomorrow. It was close tonight, but I was like, it's still wet, so I'm not gonna wear it tonight. But I'm super pumped. I love it. Oh, it's great. It's got positive ease all the way throughout, so it's super comfy. The back is a garter pattern that starts to come forward, so it kind of almost makes like a V in the front. That's like a very gradual V.
It makes a V, but it also kind of like
it's more on the sides.
Right, it kind of hits all the like hips and natural parts.
Yeah, it's set up to. I'm pretty excited. I think I ended up making the collar a little longer than written because I think they said 5 rows, and I think I ended up doing around 9 or 10 for the ribbing on the collar.
It looks nicer with a bigger collar.
Really
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, and I think that's partially I went a little conservative and went with the XL size, and I probably could have done the large size, but I'm very happy with it. It's big and comfy.
Yes, perfect kind of sweater.
Before we get to our next section, you guys feel like we need another drink?
Ready for another
drink? Yes.
Sure.
All right. Our next drink in our Valentine's Day themed beers is one of Caitlin's go-tos from Iowa, West O Brewery. It is the West O Cocoa Stout. This is a regular in the Lloyd household. It's a chocolate stout. Can't wait to hear what everyone thinks. It's smooth, drinkable, chocolatey.
It's good when it doesn't go down the wrong pipe, though, because I have a slight drinking problem and couldn't drink it properly.
Jess and her drinking problems. So, good advice for listeners. Make sure that when you swallow, it goes down your throat, not up your nose not or anything airway. Weird like that. Yeah, it's just normal
alcohol.
Sipping.
Stomach only.
Kelsey, what are your thoughts?
It's pretty smooth, not overly annoying in any way. It
that's praise.
I don't know why I said that. It's pretty.
No, that's all right.
Hello,
that's funny.
Mellow.
Yeah,
my kitty destroyed
it's
me
not,
my lap.
Yeah, it's not annoying in any way. It's not biting in any way. It's to me, it's a pretty drinkable, middle road drinkable beer.
Yeah, it's malty. I don't know if I go as far as like a full body, but it's medium to full-ish.
It definitely has a good mouthfeel. Like, it's not an overwhelming amount.
It's kind of like French roast coffee. It's not dark roast, but it's like medium dark.
Yes.
Stash enhancements, yes?
Yes.
Yes, but we have a new name.
Yes, what's hopping?
I thought that was, yes, what's hopping?
We're starting off with you for stash enhancements.
Okay, so I kind of have a few. My cold sheep found a sweater. And anyway, I ended up, the thing I went in for was some Mad Tosh Farm Twist in the burgundy colorway, the name of which I cannot remember, but it's from our previous episodes, stuff I've been using in my Relentless shawl for the contrast color. And I may run out. I'm not sure that I'll run out, but it's looking likely that I'll run out. So I wanted to grab some more, but I couldn't because they were out of it. So instead I got this really pretty deep midnight blue. It looks black, but it is blue.
It does look black from here, but... I am not, I believe you.
Maybe if I hold it up against something else.
Oh, yeah.
Nope, still looks black. My phone case is black. This is blue.
We need to get you a purple phone case.
But with that, it's called Nocturne, and it's a very deep dark, and I'm hoping that if I use that as the last section on the shawl, if I do to run out of the purple, it'll just look like a nice edging on there with the burgundy.
I think that would look nice if you do.
I think it'll look okay. Yeah, I think it'll look okay. And then I also, so the extra stuff was some Madtosh Twist Light and Night in Chile colorway. It's a deep chocolate brown and tan and white speckled throughout. It's very pretty. And then some more Madtosh Twist Light in Fool's Rush In colorway, which is a tonal maroon. And that is going to become a pair of lovely cabled socks when I get around to it, I think. The Night in Chile is the one I'm using for my speckled space socks. Did I talk about those in my cast-ons?
Yes, a little bit.
Briefly. Yeah.
As long as I mentioned them, we're good. And then I also got some Big Sky Fibers Woolstock Worsted in Highland Fleece, which is a creamy white. And Deep Velvet, which is a maroon / burgundy color. And that is what I'm using for my mittens. And then I got some surprise yarn from my husband and my daughter. He went to pick me up needles, and being the amazing husband he is, he brought me back yarn. That is Knitted Wit sock yarn in Vroom Vroom.
And that's color.
Yeah. And Abby picked it out. My daughter picked it out, which is pretty
cool. She did real good. So neat.
Broom Broom is basically a summary of her movements lately. She's just off like a racehorse everywhere with me chasing her. It's super fun. Not at all exhausting. I'm not tired of running like through the adrenaline right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's green, white, black with yellow, blue, and red speckles. And I'm really excited to see how it's going to knit up. It's like primary colors, but the green is like a forest. It's probably going to become a hat for my husband, I think. I might do some brioche with it because I think that'd be cool, some brioche. Cool.
Yeah. Do you have a thought of what color you're going to put next to it? Not sure yet.
I'm thinking some more green.
Yeah, that could be neat.
Do some more green.
I'm totally on board with that.
Pick a slightly lighter green. You like green, though, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I didn't even know I like green as much as I do until I started knitting. I like green.
You use a lot of green.
But I think the green would be so cool against the green of that.
Yes. Especially if I found a spring green.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that would make the dark green kind of pop.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, cool. That is my stash enhancements. That is what's hopping in my yarn stash. So
I love it.
Kelsey, do you have anything?
I do, actually. So I wasn't going to order anything, and I've been trying to cold shape with, I don't really like the idea of calling it a yarn diet or cold sheet because I'm just trying to be cognizant of what I have in stash. I've been trying to work from stash first and then go from there. Mm-hmm. But I did apply to be a test knitter for a pattern, and I got accepted for it. And I'll be able to tell more details as that comes out. But it required DK weight yarn and into colors, which I didn't really have any DK weight in yarn that I knew yardage on. So I needed something. I knew what it was. So I did just a, search on Etsy for someone with a DK weight yarn. And I found some pretty yarns. A place called The Woolly Cabin. And she has such pretty yarn. I ended up ordering 4 skeins of DK in Plumberry, Candy Hearts, Antique Blue, and Cocoa.
So pretty. I love Candy Hearts.
At least 2 of those are going to end up in a pair of the Lumberjack socks by Tin Can Knits.
Join me.
I will, because I don't have any DK weight socks. I can't wait to have some DK weight socks.
Yay!
Do you know good which 2 socks you're going to use?
I'm going to use the Plumberry and Candy Hearts.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait to.
So it's a little
what's
bit
candy
of like
hearts
a,
look like.
Candy Hearts is like a dark fuchsia with a red on a white. So the dark fuchsia and red are speckled on a white cream background. And then Plumberry is exactly that. It's a nice rich plum color. And so I think there are little hints of that plum color in the Candy Hearts. They're just gonna kind of play off of each other.
They're gonna look very Valentine's-y.
I don't know which one's going to be the big color. Yes, they will be very Valentine's-y because I'm going to have them in done in time for Valentine's.
That's so awesome.
I have to interrupt this to paint y'all a word picture of what I'm seeing on Caitlin's camera. So she took the toddler-sized hat and tried to put it on her head. So it's sitting there hat almost, like the Cat in the Hat hat is how it kind of looks right now, the shape of it.
Yeah, it does.
It's just kind of floppy at the bottom and then it goes straight up.
Yeah.
It's great.
Significantly skinnier than my head.
Ferociously petting her cat right now. Mello is getting tons of love. And he's just photobombing the hell out of her camera. Oh no, the hat just fell off. It's just very funny. It's not at all distracting.
Sorry, Kelsey. There.
Anyway, back to our regularly scheduled stash enhancement.
So after Candy Hearts. But yes, thank you. I appreciate that you appreciate Miss Elias. I really want to put it on Riker's head right now, but that wouldn't go over well since he's sleeping.
No, bad idea.
I do have another stash enhancement that could fall in the stash enhancement / finish objects category.
All right.
I finished another skein of yarn on my spin wheel. So I don't have it with me, and I'm not going to go up and get it because less strips up are better than they are. But so I finished my Fiberman Dyeworks fiber minis from my advent calendar. What I did was I took 3/4 of each day and spun them end to end and chain plied them. And then I think I finished it late end of last week. Just went day to day to day, washed them and dried them, and I have no idea where I put them now.
Oh no!
They're somewhere in my house.
Well, I hope you find them soon because those were so pretty.
Oh, I will find them soon. As soon as I can, I'll post another picture.
Okay. As long as we're promised pictures, we're good.
Yes, yes.
It matters. Sure.
So, Caitlin, got any stash? Or is that not the end of yours, Kelsey? Because I'd hate to cut you off too soon.
Oh, no. That's it. That's okay. That's the end for me.
Sweet.
All right. The hat was so hot that I had to take my sweater off and my sweatpants. So now I'm still clothed, if anyone's concerned. I'm a layerer. Anyways, Jess and I actually did a little girls' date, and we went to the local yarn store in Valley Junction. I don't have a plan for it yet, but it's super pretty. And like we both looked at it, we're like, this is Caitlin yarn. So it is Knitted Whip. It's their sock yarn. The colorway is Canyonlands National Park. It is white, and then there's this like orangey, deep brownish orange and purple and green. And then there's like the white in between. And it's gorgeous. I love it. It changes pretty quickly. And I think it'll be really fun for a pair of socks, but I'm not sure what pattern they are going to tell me they want to be. But I'm really excited about it. I also did another order off of Webs. They're just my favorite. And more of this will be in the show notes, but I got a variety of sock yarns. I got a bunch of browns. I'm playing with the idea of doing some sort of color work brown socks, but I'm not quite sure yet. And then I bought a few that I just thought were really pretty. I actually bought some acrylic yarn too, because it was in Christmas colorways. This year I was so bummed out because I felt like I was like waiting for the sale of the Christmas yarn since like June, and that's not a thing. So when I saw that there were some Christmas yarns that I thought were kind of fun, I bought them. So I think those are the biggest one, and it's Cascade Cartwheel and Cascade Big Wheel. So
those are cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. They'll probably be like charity hats or maybe Christmas presents, but I get a lot of joy of knitting Christmas colors. And this year I had cotton, which was super great, and I would like to branch out. So our next section we have renamed Hangovers. And this is for knitting disasters.
Yes. So my hangover here is that issue I may have with my Relentless shawl running out of the color. That kind of blows. So I'm hoping I don't, because I'm really nervous about throwing the third color in there. Like, what if it doesn't work? What if it looks weird? What if I hate it? I put all this work into the stupid shawl and all these long rows, and I may hate it. So it's kind of like pre-hangover. like when you're drinking and you just know tomorrow morning is not going to be any fun and you may regret this, but you keep drinking anyway. So that's where I'm at. Kelsey, have you got a knitting hangover going on?
Oh God, this sweater I just wanted to be done with. I've ripped back the sleeves twice, I think. The first time I ripped it back, I'm not sure why, because it just was looking at me funny or something.
Hey, you gotta tell that sweater who's boss.
The sweater was just sitting there giving you attitude.
Yeah.
It was.
Giving you the eye.
The second time I ripped it back, it was because I ran out of yarn in the fading section. This is on the Comfort Fade Cardi. And again, I knew I was going to be playing Yarn Chicken from the start. There's A, B, C, and D colors, and A fade from A to G. And I'm going to end up fading from D to A at the very end at my cuffs. But also, I don't mind that because...
No, that's nice.
The D color was like a cream color, and the A color was a blue color. So I'm going to end up with a blue at the cuffs, which will be better instead of getting all the white cuffs so dirty.
No, yeah, that's really pretty. It looks totally like ripples on the water.
It kind of does. I'm really excited. It's like I said, it's going to be a big oversized house cozy, but I am perfectly okay with
it. Either way, though, I really rather not have like a light white-ish or grayish color at the end of my sleeve. So
that blue is especially
good call.
Especially lately, I've been using, you know, the sleeves on my cuffs to open doors more often than my actual hands. So
that's true. Yeah, that is the reality we were living in.
Unfortunately.
So I'm supposed to be next for yarn hangovers. I don't mean to be like the odd one out, but I don't currently have a yarn frustration.
You got 99 problems, but your yarn ain't one.
Not right now. Yeah. 99. That's good. Not that one.
Awesome.
Kelsey.
And for our quote of the week, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, very appropriately timed. When I'm sometimes asked, when will there be enough women on the Supreme Court? And I say, when there are 9. People are shocked. But there'd be 9 men, and nobody's ever raised a question about that.
I love that so much. I don't even like have to say anything. It just makes me feel warm and happy. I love it. She's right on there.
Yes.
Very much so. It's never a matter of, oh, well, there are all these women, there's now men, but there's so many times it's a, oh, how many times is going to be there? Is there going to be a woman?
Mm-hmm. It'll be nice when it's no longer a headline that a woman has done this because we're used to it. When that glass ceiling is finally freaking gone. And at least with inauguration, another crack.
Another what?
Another crack in the glass ceiling with Kamala.
Oh, yes. Yes, very true. I don't want to marginalize the topic, but even on the bike race last week, there were approximately like 65 people entered and only 4 of us were women.
And like kudos to you guys. Well, not you guys, but you know what I mean? Kudos to all y'all women for doing that. It's really good that you guys are still putting yourself out there, not letting that dissuade you from competing. Not. Makes you kind of badass.
It's true. I think it's still going to be a long road, but I think progress is being made.
Every day a little bit more.
So our next section. Goals.
And it's Caitlin's turn.
And I always want to say brought to you by Jess, because Jess invented this section and it's super fun. Our current goal is to wrangle Ravelry. Our current focus right now, it's a multi-episode focus, and we're aiming to have this done by episode 8, so we're at episode 5, so we have a little time, is to organize our stash, be it on Ravelry or not. Just have it in a way that's organized and we understand what we have and make it more helpful for our knitting. So that's our goal. And I'll stop throwing Jess on to the wolves here. I'll start on this one. So I feel like I'm at a good point. I say in the notes that I'm done, but I don't feel like I am because I haven't gotten the label maker out. I went to Wally World and I bought a few extra of those 3-drawer organizers that I think they're really intended for dorm rooms. And I still have my original ones and I still use them. And I have one upstairs in my closet and I now have one with yarn in it. So I have those, and then I have a few storage containers for my cotton cones. But the drawers allowed me to organize everything. So my cotton is separate, but everything else is in the drawers by weight. And I have a few drawers for certain weights. It just kind of depends on the volume I have of each. And then I have a storage container for all of my like pure acrylic that I'm kind of just trying to get through, like for ornaments and like non things you don't want to wear because it's just too acrylic-y. And then I have the one for my cones, and then I have 2 drawers for the rest of my cotton. And that way I like when I pull the drawer open, I can actually see all of them. Pretty happy with that. One thing that I'm starting that I didn't think of when I was organizing it is I'm now going to write the date on the label whenever I pick it up. If it doesn't have a date, I know it's before 2021. I'm also writing in the label if I put it back, like if I've knitted something out of it, approximately how much grams I have left. So then I can pick it up and actually know if I have enough of it, if I find a colorway I want to use for my project.
Nice. Really good. That's idea.
Very organized.
Yeah, I've gone to town. I don't know. I like organizing.
Well, come over and help me with my stash.
Well, I was going to say, Caitlin kind of scared me a little. We were talking about you guys coming over to organize my stash, and she's like, I'll bring my label maker. I'm like,
I sure will.
A little hesitant because I have nothing for you to actually label.
Oh, I have some spare storage containers.
She'll find something.
But that's way too organized for my stash. My stash just lets it go.
Hey, we're going to get you the cedar cabinets with the glass windows where you can see every single colorway through the glass windows in your craft room.
Mm-hmm.
UV glass. That dream will become a thing.
Yes.
I want to build it.
That'd be fun. That would be
actually a really fun
other
project.
Drugs project.
Yeah. We could add woodworking to our list.
That'd be really neat.
So I have made like very little progress on it. I have moved some yarn downstairs, which is into the room in which the yarn storage is. So like I count that, but it's not like all of my yarn.
That's solid progress though. And with a toddler, not that I'm like newly in the toddler world, but switching floors with a child is hard.
Yes.
So that's even more of an achievement.
To be fair, I did it while she was sleeping. So
still
naps. Naps are golden. Timing. The people who say sleep when they sleep, they're nuts. No, that's when you got to do everything else.
No,
I hate that.
No,
you do not sleep when they freaking sleep. That's where you try and reclaim some sanity.
Yeah. Where you try to like eat some food.
Yes. Take a shower.
Yeah. Take. Yes. Yeah. Those were.
Or at least like wash your hair
first. Yeah.
Like the bar is low.
Like trying to feed myself and just trying to smell less gross.
Yes.
Are the goals.
Try and be less
point.
Gross. That's what you do
so
when
the
they
whole,
sleep.
The whole like sleep when the baby sleeps thing. Oh, no. I'm so with you. So with you.
Okay. Kelsey's just sitting here watching us rant.
Here I am going, oh, I was just happy I took a shower this week.
You get it though. That's the feeling.
I do, but it was all dependent on me. It was not dependent on any other being.
Well, picture it being dependent on you and someone who's going to scream at you if you make the wrong move.
Yeah.
You could wake them up. And they don't like being woken up.
I'm good.
Which is ironic because they like to wake us up.
Sure do. On Christian to fun. Kelsey. Tell us where you're at with your stash.
My stash situation. Okay. So a few weeks ago, I kind of unearthed the stash amount in my bedroom. I have stash everywhere. Honestly, it's pretty much in every room.
Knitter's
very nice to me. Yeah. Jinx.
It is, but it isn't. Like, it's everywhere, but it's unorganized. But I did unearth some.
So you need like a fingering room and a DK room and a worsted room. Yeah.
I've gone back and forth so much. Like, do I want it by color? Do I want it by weight? Do I want it by fiber content? What do you
guys? I'd say by weight and then color.
What do you guys think? What's your favorite?
I think weight I'm glad color. That I separated out as far as like my 100% acrylic and my 100% cotton, like for only dishcloths, like I kept all that separate, but then the rest I put together by weight. Most projects, you're doing all the same weight. So that's why not every project, but a lot of projects.
The exception for me would be stuff like cashmere, where it's like, you know, 80% cashmere or whatever. Obviously, that's going to be
your
separate.
Premiums.
You're not going to use that in the same project as merino.
That's true.
Right.
So
like, I've gone back and forth so many times. Like, do I do it by weight? Do I by content? Do I do it by project intention? I'm not sure.
I wouldn't do it by project intention because intentions are great until you forget about them because you have a lot of yarn.
Yeah, I'd say right. If you have intentions and you don't want to forget them, write them on the label, but I wouldn't organize by that. Because like, I almost use the yarn that I already have saved for Riker's cactus hat. And I was like, oh no, this is Riker's cactus hat. But I don't know if I would necessarily.
So by going through the stash. I was in a bedroom. I was going through and figuring out, okay, I've knit this into something. Okay, I'm keeping this something that's on the pile. Or I'm going to rip out this project because I don't like it, or it's partway through and I don't remember what it was, or I don't know. It's a big old pile of various things in various stages of project. I'm guessing most of them that are in a project form are probably going to get ripped out. That's where I'm at.
But you know what? That means it's like a blank slate. Like you have lots of ideas and ways
That's the thing.
Yeah.
My biggest thing this year is attacking my whips. Do I knit them? Do I finish them? Do I rip them out? We'll see.
I think that's a really great goal.
I'd go and rate them on a scale of 1 to 10. And 10 is you love it. 1 is you hate it. Or flip a coin. And if it's heads, you keep it. Tails, you lose it. Because then when it's up in the air, you're going to know which one you're rooting for.
I'm much more on the heads, tails side of things and looking at it and going, I like this or I don't like it.
Yeah. And then if you're kind of meh on the result of the heads or tails, rip it out because you don't love it.
Well, that's the thing. I think most of the things I'm looking at now is like, oh, I have this cool fiber, this cool yarn. And I did what with it? Because I have a bunch of yarn that I've bought over the years that I love. Mm-hmm. And maybe now in my idea, in my head, that I didn't use it to its fullest potential. And I can do something with it.
And you should. You should rip that out and re-cake it or re-skein it and just let it mellow.
Exactly. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm still in track to mostly knit from stash this year, and I'm okay with that.
That's awesome.
I could, but I probably won't.
Oh, you want to come shop my stash? I'll sell it to you.
If that's a legitimate offer, fuck yes.
Kelsey, we're coming over. Don't have pants on, put them on. We're coming.
That is true. We can only see her from the waist up, guys, so we have no idea.
Yeah. No idea.
She could be recording in her skivvies. We don't know.
Yeah, you can only see a quarter of my face, so it's all good.
That's she could be wearing like one of those Phantom of the Opera masks too, then.
Yes. Now I want to sing all the songs. So yeah, moving forward with goals. The next is kind of our personal goals section. I'm happy to start us off just because I threw my notes up top on the outline.
Sure.
My first one is to complete 20 projects this year, which considering how many small projects I do, which is not what I'm starting to cast on, but I may have undershot it. I don't know. We'll find out. My goal was 20. I've now, as of tonight, completed 5, even though I will probably block Biker's Hat. So it's not like really completed, but we're going to count it. So that's 5. And the notes I've listed, the ones I've completed. As for publishing patterns, I need to get on that. I have like 2 that are just ready. I just need to learn how to format it in a PDF so that it's nice and pretty. I have not started on my charity knitting. Oh, go ahead.
It's like, I think we can hire someone in this group.
Okay. Hired. Make it pretty. As for my 2 products for charity, I bought more yarn than I can use for charity. So I count that as something, even though I already had yarn for that. Next goal was start and finish a sweater. I finished a sweater. So now I just need to start a sweater. So that's going good. I'm hoping for 125 products in Ravelry at the end of the year, and I'm at 81.
Oh, wow. So how many would that give you? So 120?
45. Well, 43. 44. Math.
Yeah, that might be 1. Too aggressive, and my 20 might be too under aggressive. So I've got like both ends there. So I'll at least hopefully get the 45 is a lot, but
I don't know. 44 because you have 81.
True,
but you have so many that are you do so many that are like one after the other that you're gonna just pop them out.
Yeah, and some of that though, like I'm not gonna count all of my dumpster fires as individual projects. And when I
why not?
I would.
Oh my god. I'm gonna make a lot of them. I've already started at least 4 and I have 20 plus people on the list. I don't know if it'll stay at 20 plus, but that's a lot of dumpster fires if I'm scrolling through. I don't know. It does summarize the year though if there's a lot of fires. I started grouping my scrubbies together and like I put 3 of them on one. They take me less than an hour to complete.
Okay, if you counted those individually, you would definitely make it to 125.
I started off that way and I was like, okay, apparently I'm making a lot of these, so I'm going to put a few on. Anyways, Jess, where are you at with your goals?
So my goals were to knit a sweater and socks for myself and test knit a pattern and swatch. I have no patterns I'm test knitting yet. I technically have swatched, but I have not measured it. So I'm like halfway-ish there.
Nice.
And the speckled space socks are for me. So I am about an inch above the toe on those. So those are going. And then the swatch will be for the sweater. I'm working on it.
Nice job.
You're making good progress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now I just got to test knit something. And then I'll have started all of my goals. And I probably should have been more ambitious.
I did stumble. There's like a website that just has a bunch of projects you can test knit. And then they have the deadline.
You're thinking Yarn Pond.
Yeah. And I kind of looked through it, but it looked. Like so much of what I was looking at was a little more ambitious than that. I couldn't do a sweater in a week.
I'm honestly waiting for you to get ready to publish your patterns to test knit them.
Perfect.
Because I am a baby test knitter and I need someone who's going to be forgiving.
Honestly, that's where I do most of my test knits from. That's where I'm doing the test knit from that I'm doing right now. It's from
your super secret, top secret, can't tell anybody test knit.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Secret.
All right. Looks like my turn, unless you have something more.
Nope. That's it. Those were my goals.
I have lots and lots of ideas floating around in my head right now for publishing a pattern. Ooh. And I've been at least sketching some ideas lately.
Ooh, yay.
So that's a start. And I've been reading a little bit more about different places that have design calls and such. I'm headed more towards that publishing a pattern side of things.
Very good.
The master hand knitter, I thought I might pick up the instructions this week, but that required moving off the couch, which was hard. So I didn't. Instead, I just knit things I already had.
That amazing ruffly cowl.
Right.
It makes me happy. No pattern. That's amazing.
That may actually end up as a pattern-ish thing.
I love it.
If you added some ribbing to it, you could call it Ruffles Half Ridges.
Definitely. I think I might end up publishing something that has ruffles. The hand knitter program. I thought I was going to pick it up this week, but you know, you always have so much time built in with your time off that you think you're going to do this and you're going to do that, and then you run out of time.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't get to that at all. I have, however, gotten one sweater off the needles.
Woo.
And I'm like 5 inches off of getting another sweater off the needles. I'm making progress there.
Awesome.
That's it.
Well, before we get to our topic, you guys ready for our third drink, we think?
I think so, yes.
All right. Continuing with our Valentine's Day theme, we are going chocolatey. And we have got the Shake Chocolate Porter from Boulder Beer Co., so Colorado. Apparently, the brewery started in 1979, so here we go. Now that we're opened, I will say cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. I opened mine early.
That's okay.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah, and it has
a roasty. It actually tastes like a chocolate milkshake.
Yeah.
It does.
But I get a roasty feeling from it, but it's not like it's a comfortably chocolatey roasty.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it really gives that full on milk, chocolate, like milkshake taste.
It tastes like the foam on a chocolate milkshake.
That's probably what I'm
calling
roasty.
Like the little bubbles you get at the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like the full chocolate. It's not like as sweet as the actual milkshake is, but it's like the froth. That's the word, froth.
Stuff that like lingers.
It's good. That is, I think that's my favorite out of the three.
I think my favorite of the three is the raspberry.
The raspberry is nice, but this one is just, that's really tasty. The chocolate is just hitting right.
I'm in between the last two. I like both of them.
I think I like this one better than the last one. This one has more of the chocolate taste, and I like chocolate. No offense to your favorite there, Caitlin.
Oh no, it's all good. That's why we have lots of flavors.
Oh, yes. So,
oddly enough, the Western Cocoa Stout is like one of my favorites. But vanilla is like my go-to ice cream flavor, and chocolate's Brian's.
Huh.
Yeah, I love vanilla.
Ooh, this would be really good as a float.
Oh, it would be. There was one point in time I used to mix this with one of the local breweries has what's called the beatnik sour.
Oh, yeah.
And
Exile?
Yes. And so I used to team down the beatnik sour with the Boulder Shake. I know it sounds weird.
No, I can get behind that.
It sounds weird. You're combining a sour with a milk stout. But
this one's a chocolate porter, isn't it?
Nope, chocolate stout. Wesso?
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the Boulder one.
Oh, sorry. No. Oh,
my bad. Okay. No, that was my misunderstanding there.
Nope. I actually used to do the same with the chocolate stout with the Boulder Shake.
Okay.
Yeah, before the place I went to and combined those, before they had the Wesso, we did it with the chocolate shake. And so it was like the Boulder chocolate shake with a little bit of this local, like, basic. I don't mean basic as in, like, nothing. Mm-hmm. But, like, a pretty standard, here's our base of a sour beer, and combine those together, and they kind of balance out.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd totally be up for trying that.
I don't know if I would be. It sounds like a Hawaiian pizza does to people who think pineapple on pizza is an abomination.
Like someday we'll pour you a little taster.
Okay. I'll taste it. Because pineapple on pizza is fucking delicious. So.
It is.
Maybe this is too.
So what you're saying is that you're not against it. You're just, you know, apprehensive.
I don't think I'll like it, but I'll try it once.
Perfect.
I don't know.
As long as you're willing to try it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So our topic for this time is crochet, and it'll be paired with a sister episode and other drugs. So basically, this is our other hobbies besides knitting and knitting adjacent hobbies. So anything crafty really goes, and we'll just kind of babble at you about this.
So, Jess, you really are, like, master crocheter.
No. Here. Not really. I've only been crocheting for 3 years.
You still seem to be better than the rest of us.
Well, Caitlin hasn't crocheted before, so... And you focus so much of your time on knitting and biking that I'm not sure how much is left for crochet.
Okay.
You do nice stuff.
So that's
too.
Like saying, out of the three of us, I make the best duck. None of us are ducks. So being the best duck out of three humans is great, and I suppose it's a compliment, but we still aren't ducks. I'm far from an expert crocheter.
So we're not a group of ducks yet.
No, we are not ducks.
Okay.
I'll work on my quacking.
Today we learned. None of us are ducks in a trench coat.
Darn. I would have been totally all about that. Let's hit it. Let's hit some crochet, okay. Ladies.
All right. So where do we start?
Where do we start? What do you tell someone who has never crocheted? Me raising my hand right now.
Tell them to find a project that interests them to start out with. Generally, something flat can be simpler than something like 3D. Like amigurumis may not necessarily be the best place to start. Those are the little stuffed critters, like that terrifying Bernie mitten you showed us the other day.
Oh, goodness.
That's technically an amigurumi, and it is frightful. It's a mitten with legs and a face. It's just, it's not right. It's like the hamburger helper mitten had an abomination of a nephew or something. It's just horrible.
It looked like the eyes were following me, guys.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, yes, it did.
Terrifying.
No,
it was
like
just scary.
I like the idea behind it. Like, it's a figure of Bernie's mitten.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little creepy.
The execution was a bit scary.
Explain to me. Agarumis.
Amigurumi.
Amigurumi.
Closer.
Amigurumi.
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 There you go. Bingo.
Okay.
So it's the Japanese art of knitting or crocheting small yarn creatures. Generally, they're crocheted. I don't really see the knitted ones as amigurumi, but that's what Google says.
Okay.
It's not typically listed as amigurumi for knitting, but yes.
No, right. It's generally crochet. So like the top half of this, and I'm holding up a little bunny lovey, is amigurumi. The little bunny part, not the blanket part. And this is one I made for my daughter.
That's so cute.
Really
she never cute. Played with it, so I think it's cute. She didn't care, which is basically babies for you.
We care.
Did you embroider the eyes and everything? That's amazing. Did.
And this one was based off of a pattern. I didn't like the ears on the pattern, so I redid them myself. But crochet is really easy to adapt patterns to. Once you understand how the stitches will shape, you're good. Basically, there's some standard stitches. There's single crochet, double crochet, triple or treble crochet, and half double crochet.
Oh, goodness.
And they vary in heights is all. A single crochet is the first, it's the shortest stitch. Half double is about twice that size. A double crochet is twice the size of a half double. And then a treble crochet is about a third again the size of a double crochet.
Okay.
And that's really all there is to it. Then you can just change how you put the hook in. That'll make stitches like lean certain ways.
Caitlin, if you think about it in the way of horses, you use a lot of daisy chains. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of how you put your daisy chains together.
Okay.
So like it's a little like knitting short rows. Too. If you switch heights with the, like, say you go and you're doing a row of crochet and you do a single crochet, a half double, a treble, and then back down through a double crochet, a half double, and a single, and it'll make kind of the little wave pattern where it goes up in the middle.
Okay. It's
just like knitting short rows to do the same thing where you have three rows in the middle, two, and then one on the sides.
I think we have a blanket that's like that. It's like zigzaggy.
Yeah. Yeah. Except it'll be waves instead. It'll be gentle arcs.
Okay.
Chevrons is worked differently. And that's the zigzag ones.
Chevrons. Okay. See, look at I'm yeah. learning things, guys.
Yeah, but those are very popular crochet patterns too, waves and chevrons. Especially in the like 70s and 60s and 80s, you saw a lot of the chevrons.
Absolutely.
I think every grandma has one of those crocheted chevron blankets somewhere in their home.
That's kind of where I learned from today. Crochet was from my grandmother. So.
Well, tell us more about how you learned, Kelsey.
Yeah.
So for me, I had a grandmother who was very, very, she did a lot of crochet. As much as I knit, she crocheted probably
That's
times.
A lot.
Well, me knitting, her crocheting was probably like four times as much as I knit.
Oh, wow.
That's saying something. But by the time that I really got to know her, she was living in an assisted living, and that's what she spent her time doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very cool. And I'm really glad that I learned from her. Cool. Although she really, I really only learned like slip stitch, like a daisy chain from her, truly. Mm-hmm. And she tried to teach me single crochet, I think. And I never got the hang of it. Like I could go single crochet around and around and around. What is this going to do for me? It's turning into like this super tight, like, skinny basket looking thing. What am I gonna do? I don't know. But at least with my grandmother, I learned like the basic stitch of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really put it away for a long time. And then I discovered Ravelry, right? Like we all discovered Ravelry at some point. Yeah. I was like,
changes everything.
Expands the horizon, right? And so I started learning a few more patterns or like few more stitches even, or the fact that there were other stitches. Thank you, internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had other crochet book, like the boy books you might pick up at Joann's or whatever.
Yeah.
That had like the general like individual stitches. But what do you do with those? Like where do you
Yeah, how do you go? Make it something?
Right. I know how to use the single stitches. I know how to do single, double, triple, whatever. But still putting them into a pattern is still magic to me. I mean, I did manage to knit my niece an Elsa cape for Christmas. Or not knit. I want to say knit because that's what I do. I crocheted her a cape. I kind of followed the pattern. But my biggest mistake is always, where's my starting stitch? Where do I go in for the second stitch? What's the last stitch? what happens between the starting and the beginning. I don't know. And then I go down the end and it turns into something.
It's magic.
It is magic. I do it, but it's still magic.
It kind of goes back to how I started knitting. My aunt taught me when I was about 12. And then I didn't, like, she only taught me how to do garter stitch and a scarf.
So there is garter that didn't, in crochet.
No, she taught me how to knit. Oh, okay. It starts back when I learned how to knit. So she taught me how to do a garter stitch scarf, and that's all I knew. And then I would pick it up randomly throughout the years. I tried teaching myself more stitches. I just couldn't get it. Purling totally just escaped me. I couldn't learn from YouTube. I tried until finally I started working at my last actual job besides a temp job. And there is a woman there who crocheted, and she introduced me to Ravelry. And she also introduced me to some really helpful knitting tutorials on YouTube. And then I finally did pick up, you know, all those other stitches and all of that stuff. Like, I finally got that figured out. And then I asked her for YouTube tutorials on how to crochet. And she helped me, like, figure out the parts that I was missing from just watching videos, like how I was holding the hook. I was holding it wrong.
Yeah.
Or I wasn't really holding it wrong. Like, you can hold the hook two ways. So I actually have some here. You can hold in what's called a butter knife way, which is like this.
Okay.
It's very dainty and nice.
So she's got, like, her pointer finger on top, and then her other fingers are following.
Like that. And you kind of just go in like this. It's very easy. And that's the way that she does it. Or you can hold it like a pencil, like this, which involves a lot more movement. Kind of. Not really, though, because the movement of crochet is so different. So you have pencil grip and knife grip. And knife grip is really easier to do. Now Kelsey is trying to figure out which way she does it, aren't you? She nodded.
So let's see. I've got my finger on top.
Knife grip. Because it's like you're cutting meat. Knife grip.
I guess so.
See, because if you held it like this underhand and then you went in, that's pencil grip, because it's like you're writing with a pencil.
Okay, yeah, I'm definitely a knife grip kind of person.
And that's the more common of the two, but I was trying to do it pencil grip and I was just giving myself fits. So she also helped me wrap the yarn the right way, because you want to go and make sure you're wrapping it. Oh, crap. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think it's counterclockwise for lefties.
I don't know. You're a lefty. I'm a right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the other fun thing. She helped me hook. She hooked me up with a few tutorials for lefties. It was over 2 years ago. I do not remember what they are. I will try and find some and link them in the show notes for the episode. These out there who want to learn.
So do you guys have any favorite patterns? They don't necessarily have to be beginner patterns, but what's your favorite thing to crochet?
Probably the amigurumis for me. Second would be blankets, like baby blankets, because they're pretty quick.
What's pretty quick in crochet?
Quicker than knitting, because the stitches are generally taller, so you have less rows.
Okay.
And there's more space between the stitches, so you have less stitches per row for the same width, unless you're using, like, really fine yarn.
In the blanket I'm doing, which at some point I'll look up the pattern, where it's, like, a couple... It's a yarn label pattern, yes. But it's, like, a double crochet into somewhere a double crochet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just repeated, centered off of each other. At some point, I'll finish this. That's all.
That makes so, like, it, like, they almost make, like, little pots. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes. So it's alternated with the second color.
Mm-hmm.
Neat.
It's really pretty.
They look like little space fighters.
They do. Like, from Galaga.
Yeah.
My favorite pattern that I have made so far is probably, while I was making it, it was Nana's Square Dancing Dragonflies. And it's a blanket. It goes and has alternating squares of solid double crochet and then a square with a dragonfly in the holes on it. I'll link it into the pattern notes. I don't think I have it listed in my projects, and I really should list it. I made it out of cotton acrylic blend for my daughter.
Aww.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the yarn has not held up the greatest. It's kind of pilled. So that sucks. But that was also when I was first getting into Yarn Shop yarn instead of Michael's yarn. Beginner mistake on picking the yarn type. I should have gone with something that would have lasted better.
But again, you're learning. So
yep. And I learned.
Do you learn?
Just like the sweater, the scarf we've all made, or most of us.
Exactly.
Yep. Stockinette scarf.
I've never made a stockinette scarf. I never will make a stockinette scarf. I don't like stockinette and purling enough to make a stockinette scarf.
Dodge a bullet.
Yeah. Garter scarves, though, are hell. They just take forever and they're nothing but knit. Mine was short and fat. Mostly because it was fat, it was short.
I really need to go find mine. I'm pretty sure my mom has mine.
I no longer have mine.
All right, so my next question on crochet.
Yeah.
So I've watched some videos, and I guess I've watched some videos. Are all crochet needles metal?
No. And they're crochet hooks.
Crochet hooks. Are all crochet hooks metal?
They can be plastic or wood, too.
Interesting.
One of my first, like, I remember my mother bought me, like, a nice, fancy crochet hook back when I was, like, truly, truly trying to learn crochet, probably around fifth or sixth grade, maybe. But she bought me this really nice, like, wooden crochet hook. And I still have it. And I love it now. But at the time, I didn't know any different. It's like, oh, here's this really cool hook. Have at it. Now the material kind of makes a difference to me a little bit.
Because it's just like with knitting needles, it'll feel different in your hand. Some people like having the wood because it warms up to the touch. I personally prefer metal. It slides better, in my opinion. It doesn't get caught.
Well, right now I'm using one that has an ergo grip on it, like one of the rubber grips on it.
The guy I was just holding, who I put down somewhere. Oh, in my purse. I put it in my purse. That's where I keep it in my purse sport. Because it's my little one for knitting mistakes.
Oh.
It's just a 3.25 millimeter. So it's a tiny crochet hook. It's my emergency hook.
This is an 8 millimeter.
And then the hooks come in two different types too. You have ones that are slightly rounded like this one.
Okay.
Like you see that bit right here underneath the hook, how it kind of curves. And then there's other ones that just go straight and they're flat.
So what is the benefit of the flat hook versus the not flat hook?
It's really up to how you feel when you use it. Some people prefer the more curved. They do have specific names and I can't remember them.
Would you say it's similar to like having like a sharper needle point for
exactly
like lace knitting kind of thing?
It's just how sharp how grippy it'll be. Like the flat ones, in my opinion, grip the yarn more. So they're kind of harder to disengage from the yarn.
Okay.
But if you have yarn that's like splitty, they're not the greatest because it'll split the yarn easier.
Okay.
And then the rounded ones are more gentle. They're more like a dull needle. So like if you're using splitty, like sock yarn, for example, can split like hell if you're using a really sharp needle. So sometimes using a more dull needle will help it not split when you're knitting. It's the same with crochet. If you use the ones that kind of gradually curve, they won't split the yarn as much. They'll let go of it easier. But some people like having that extra grip. Like when I was starting out, I loved the flat ones. Now I swear by the curved ones.
Interesting.
It's really just personal preference.
Okay.
That's kind of interesting to take a look at now that you have that knowledge in my head to like think, okay, so this is what I would do in knitting. What's that going to act like in crochet?
Mm-hmm. And that's really the difference. Plastic hooks also can grab the yarn a bit more than metal ones. Metal just really glides. Plastic, it's kind of cool. You can find light up crochet hooks.
Oh, yeah.
You can crochet in the dark.
Those are super fucking nice for car rides. Because you can keep crocheting at night and it doesn't bug the driver too much. Because I could sit next to Josh while he's driving and I could be crocheting because it doesn't move too terribly much. So it's not too distracting and it just lights it up enough that I can see the stitch I'm working on.
I'm going to have to look at that.
Yeah, they're great. Amazon has some really fantastic ones.
My only thing is with like the more plastic style crochet, when they get hotter in your hand, like it gets more annoying to work with.
The ones I have a grip. So they have like a little rubber. It goes and it's plastic from about here down.
Okay.
But then it has rubber right here for where your fingers actually hold it. Oh. So where you're doing that. So that part doesn't warm up and you get a really nice grip. It's still ergonomic.
Okay.
I was kind of, they are an adjustment, but once you get going with them, you get used to them pretty quick.
So heat is not great in crochet?
No, it's personal preference. It's like using, have you used wooden needles, Caitlin?
I tried. Not for me. That's
you know how they warm up in your hands as you're using them?
I didn't even get that far. They're too sticky.
that feeling. That is what can happen with plastic sometimes, that stickiness.
Oh.
And some people like it because it makes it really easy not to lose your grip. Other people hate it because it makes it feel sticky.
Yeah, I'm not into the sticky.
And some people aren't bothered by it. They're neutral on it, so they'll just use whatever hook is cheapest, and the plastic ones are more cost effective.
Okay.
You can get a set of like 16 different size needle or different size hooks crochet for like $8 or something.
Yeah, about that at Walmart.
Exactly. But you, again, it's what you want to work with and what you can afford to work with. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Definitely nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I'm a fan of whatever financially.
What you find that works.
Yeah, that's true too. Are there different yarns that are better to crochet versus knit, or not vice versa? Okay.
Crochet generally doesn't have as much drape as knitting will, just because it can tend to be a little bit tighter unless you really up your crochet hook size. And it'll also have more holes, like the holes will be bigger than the space between knit stitches. The space between crochet stitches will be bigger, unless you're using a really, if you're knitting a shawl with fingering weight yarn, you use a big needle to give lots of space between your stitches, right? It can be the same with crochet. So you can use a big hook with little yarn to give yourself some nice drape. You can use a little hook with big yarn to make it a very stiff fabric. So it's not so much that the yarns will affect it. You just have to know what kind of outcome you're hoping for with your project, the same as knitting.
Okay.
If it's like, if you want a really drapey project or something that's going to have a bit of give to it, alpaca would be a good choice versus something like cotton or acrylic. Would you agree with that, Kelsey?
Yes. It's always going to be dependent on what your yarn or what your fiber material is made of.
Yeah.
But yeah, and absolutely.
Kind of what your goal is there.
Exactly. You're always going to aim for how it's always good to swatch. What do you want your fiber to end up looking like?
On that same note, how do you decide if you want to crochet or knit it? Like, say I want to make a blanket. Am I going to crochet or knit it? Like, what is my decision there? I want to make a hat. Should I crochet or knit it?
I think your first thing is time. What's your timeline?
Crochet is faster.
Okay. If you're
crochet is definitely faster.
If you're equally good at knit and crochet, what's your timeline? How long do you have before your X deadline? Crochet will be faster. But
like if Kelsey had tried to knit that cape for her niece, it wouldn't have gotten done in time unless she was using stupid bulky yarn.
God, no.
Because it's crochet, you can make the stitches so much taller with just doing one row. A treble stitch is about 4 times the height of a knit stitch in the same yarn.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can get it on 4 times as quickly because your rows are 4 times as large. It'll have a lot of space between the stitches because they only connect at the top and the bottom of the stitch.
But at the same time, quicker. I made a cape in 10 days, whereas I tried knitting it, it was probably going to be, you know, at least twice that long.
Yeah, I'd say it would have been at least
very
2 to 3 weeks.
Correct. And again, it's always going to be like, what's your desired fabric? Do you want it to be something taller and bigger and wider in your stitches?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want it to be tighter? Do you want it to be, I don't know, there's so many factors that go into that.
Also, what time of year is it for? Like crochet is great for summer because of the gaps between the stitches. It makes it a cooler fabric. But with winter, I'd say knitting is better in my opinion because the stitches are tighter. There's less holes. It insulates better.
Okay.
There's a lot of different opinions that can go into it. Like Kelsey said, time, the amount of yarn you have, crochet will actually eat more yarn than knitting will use.
But is it more bang for your buck? Like you get more fabric faster it eats up more per inch because it's thicker.
It's the way the yarn twists. You have to wrap more yarn when you crochet than when you knit.
I think it could be a good toss up whether most of the time it's going to end up taking more yarn.
Yeah. So if you're using like really expensive yarn, you may want to go and knit it rather than crochet it. But if the finished project is going to be like a beach cover up, well, then crochet is going to look really heckin' cute for that because you kind of get that boho piecey look with it.
Oh, okay.
Another consideration is that crochet cannot be done by machine.
Okay.
They can't do it because you have to go into the right holes. That's how it's done. You have to go into the top of the right stitch and you can't do that via machine. So if you see crochet in stores, like Target has those crochet swim tops, those are done by hand in some factory somewhere in a third world country, more than likely.
That's wild.
Yeah. So, but knitting can be done by machine. So
I can't believe they even have that. Like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, because those were really popular a couple years ago because some designer somewhere made one and they just trickled down. Yeah, so if you see crochet in a store, then know that it's probably done by hand. So if it's cheap, there's a reason behind it and it's not the greatest. But knitting, since that can be machine knit, then it's done in a factory by a machine, not by a person who's probably making less than they should.
That's something I did not know, so I'll make sure to be aware of that. Are there left and right-handed versions for crochet? And if so, what are the resources?
I don't have resources off the top of my head, but being a resident lefty, when you crochet left-handed, it will come out mirrored. So if your project is supposed to go in a certain direction, like Grafgans are pretty popular.
Grafgans?
That's where you, Grafgans, Graphgans.
Okay.
It's like an Afghan, but with a picture on it.
Okay.
So if you Google it or look it up on Ravelry, you'll get a whole bunch of really cool results. But if I were to go and crochet one, I would have to read the pattern of the chart from the right direction. Otherwise, I'm going to come out mirrored. So if it has words on it, they'll be backwards. It's something to definitely take into consideration. Most patterns with crochet, though, are reversible. It's not going to matter a whole hell of a lot unless you're doing something with a picture on it.
So it's just something you need to be aware of.
Same with knitting.
Okay.
It's pretty comparable.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It is a little bit different, though, because knitting still has like make one left, make one right. And those do come out a little wonky when I do them. But when you're like adding extra stitches in crochet, normally it's just crochet two single crochets into this stitch. And that's going to be the same on either side. So it doesn't really matter too much.
I just want to come watch you crochet for a while and see how it goes.
It's pretty much the same as you would do it. It's just when I crochet, I go from left to right. When some righties crochet, they go from right to left.
That's what I do.
If I was reading a chart for a GraphCAN, I would want to make sure to read it from left to right rather than from right to left. So if they've done written instructions for how this is supposed to come out, I'm going to have to translate it.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I haven't made any GraphCANs. Plus, I don't really have a reason to. I like the look of crochet stitches in kind of a texture way rather than a picture way.
Yeah, they have a lot of character.
Right now, one of my favorite projects is actually a Spice of Life blanket that I'm making for my mom. It's been in hibernation off and on, so I haven't listed it in my WIP. But I did pick it up last week. It's just the rows take a while, but it's fun. And it works up quick once I get into it. It's just crochet does a lot more of the wrist movement, so it does hurt after a bit. It's a good car project, though, because it covers my lap now, so I stay warm.
That's the best thing about this sweater.
Totally.
I have a sleeve done.
Yay!
Woo!
It's beautiful. Nice job. So yeah, crochet. What else do we need to know to kind of get started, or what's something you wish you would have known?
At the beginning, I wish I would have known probably how gauge works. I wish I would have known how fiber interacts with it better, how different fibers are going to give your fabric a different look. I also wish I would have known how much more yarn it takes up than knitting, because I did not get enough yarn for my first project. I was lucky enough that they did have more at the yarn store and in the same dye lot, so that was great. Kind of lucked out there. Past that, it's really just finding what you're comfortable with. It's very similar to knitting that way. Do you like metal? Do you like plastic? Do you like wood? Do you prefer to use the flat hooks, or do you prefer to use the rounded ones? Do you like an ergonomic grip? Do you not? Do you want to use a pencil hold or a knife hold? It's a lot of personal decisions.
My biggest thing is I wish I would have just, my grandmother was a great resource, but I wish at the time I would have had better resources.
That way you could have crocheted with her a bit more?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was good to teach, but like she also lived 900 miles away. So, you know, 20 years ago, she couldn't just like hop online and teach me how to crochet from a distance.
Yeah. And even then, crocheting learning virtually is tricky.
Right. It
is very, finding someone who actually knows how. Oh, I wish I would have known that local yarn stores have crochet classes.
It's unfortunate that it's like so much triggered towards knitters or weavers, and then so many times crochet is left behind.
Yeah. And I also wish I would have known that younger people do crochet, that it's not just an older person thing, because I think it gets like those chevron blankets. I think that's very stereotypical of what people think crochet is, or those horrible outfits you see on Facebook, you know, like the full body granny squares. It's not just that. It can be very cute. It can be very fun. Amy Gurumis are a hell of a lot of fun. I enjoy modifying the patterns. And it's a neat break from knitting too. Oh, one other thing with crochet is if you do like to crochet and you're good with making the critters, the Amy Gurumis, there is a charity called Octopus for Preemies. And what they do is they make crochet octopi and they give them to premature infants because they have the tentacles. And they like to pull on their wires and stuff when they're in their incubators. And by having the tentacles, they'll pull on those instead. So they leave their IV and their, you know, like no if way. They're on a feeding tube, they'll leave that alone.
That's cool.
And you can actually crochet them. It is stupid hard to make one proper. They have very strict guidelines because it is a medical product.
Okay.
But if you're good with crochet and that's something that you want to give your time for, you can look it up on Facebook. Octopus for a Preemie US is a group. Domestically, I'm abroad. I think there's one for the UK as well. I'm not sure about other countries, but it's a really good charity.
That's cool. Have any other crochet questions, Caitlin?
I don't think so.
Should we go ahead and move on into our IRL in real life section?
Yeah, yes. Let's do it.
Why don't you start us off, Caitlin?
So I think in general, we do try to keep our podcast really positive and happy. Our goal is to kind of make it sound like you're just knitting with your friends and hanging out. But I also want to share kind of myself with you because we're friends. And So I actually lost my horse this week. So he was with my mom. She had him with her horse and she found him Thursday morning. Wednesday morning. I can't even say it right. But that's what's going on with me. So it's kind of sad, but we all have our buddies. And I started riding him when I was 16 and it was amazing. And we were buddies and he was just the sweetest soul. So that's what I have going on with me.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry you lost your horse. Danny, he had a good life.
He did.
He did. 31 years.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's doing really good.
I'm very grateful for the time we had together. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that on here, because it's important that we keep things real. Positivity is great, but not when it's forced.
Right.
Exactly.
For my in real life, Caitlin and I actually were able to go to the Science Center with our kiddos today, and they had a blast. My daughter tried, they had a little area where you could play with bubbles, and it's like this big, it's about I'd say a 3-foot by 3-foot little basin where they have water and dish soap. And these bubble rings where you go and pick them up and they're about a foot wide. So my 2-year-old was able to manage it. And she picks one up and she tries to give herself a hat. So she got bubble soap all over in her hair. But she was delighted. So it was great. How about you, Kelsey?
Well, today was the Rag Ride announcement party. Well, Rag Ride announcement anyway. Rag Ride is the Register's annual great bike ride across Iowa.
Nice.
Every year that typically entails 1973, I think, entails riding bicycles across the state of Iowa from the west end of Iowa to the east side. Different routes every year. Last year was put off because of COVID. Makes sense. Because it draws in probably on average about 10,000 people a day riding their bikes, anywhere from 40 to 100 miles a day. And so today they announced the Rag Ride route for this coming year, starting on the Mars. And unfortunately, I forget now we're in, but 7 days of biking across the state of Iowa. And the biggest, most important, special part of it is we're actually having a full gravel day of riding.
Nice.
So in addition to the regular Rag Ride route, which is all on pavement, they're providing a alternative gravel route. So on a day that would be about 70 miles, 50 miles of it would be on gravel if you so choose. If you don't want to ride the gravel, there will be an option on the pavement. But we had the opportunity to go and ride it back in December, which was really fun. Great area. It's a pretty wonderful intro to gravel riding in Iowa. Fairly flat, fairly straightforward, but it definitely puts you right into the heart of Iowa gravel, which is pretty exciting. This is a new and upcoming thing for Rag Ride.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it this year. That's all we have going on. We also had our first race in the books. Our next race is on the calendar. I probably won't be riding in it.
I'm sorry.
You know, it is what it is. I learned a lesson. I'm hoping to be back on the bike in about 6 weeks. Then I think we should have some more races coming up after that. But it's been a really fun year of fat biking and discovering so many other snowmobile trails around the area that we live in. Allow bicycles to ride on them in the winter, which is great. And now that my partner has his own fat bike, we can go out and do them both together. Not to end on another low note, there's more races coming up. There'll be more bike rides coming up in the future. We have 3 more inches of snow predicted this weekend. So we'll see what happens.
I say ick to the snow, but yay to the bikes.
Exactly.
So you can find us on Facebook as at Gravel Knits, Instagram is Gravel Knits, and you can email us at gravelknits@gmail.com. You can also check us out at Untappd for today's beverages at Gravel Space Knits. You can find me on Ravelry as ShadowCat713, and that's Cat with a K. I'm also on Instagram as ShadowCat713. Kelsey is on Ravelry as GISGRL. Instagram is Bikes Brews Use, and Untappd is Kelsey DJ. And that's D as in David, J as in Jess. And Caitlin is on Ravelry as Firefly 171717. And Instagram is Caitlin N. Lloyd. Please message us to let us know what you would like us to talk about in our next episode.
Remember, keep knitting.
Be kind.
And if you don't like it, frog it.
Frog it. We were so close. So close.
Gravelknits believes everyone deserves to be included and loved, regardless of who you love, your beliefs, color, size, your gender, or whatever makes you you. Please keep in mind that while we are human and while we are trying to educate ourselves, there is always more to learn, and any critiques are deeply appreciated.